WBA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go,
Bride! Tony Nicholson is a part of the fellowship released in the Fire Kingdom International Fellowship. She is the overseer of the IMF International Ministry Fellowship. She is an ordained minister in the office of a prophet. She is a psalmist, a praise and worship leader, and a playwright. She does personal ministry, which is A Dance with Destiny. She is the author of the book, A Dance with Destiny. She is also a speaker with the Susan G. Komen Speakers Bureau for Cancer Benefits and Community Outreach. She has served in ministry over 25 years and lived in Washington, D.C. area for almost 3 decades. Now she currently resides in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She is a widow and has 2 sons, and her life story is one of triumph and winning against all odds. In 2 short years, she was widowed, lost her house and dog, diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, brain aneurysm, and contracted a deadly infection. When she moved to this area, she had to learn how to walk and talk all over again. Her message to the body is one that speaks of God's amazing love and grace and finding purpose in her pain while learning to dance in the rain. Isn't that beautiful?
I was saved when I was 14 years old. I was born in Union City, Tennessee, and got married very young and moved to the Washington, D.C. area. My then husband, we were like in ministry. I would say we were like the BB and CC one, and the only difference were we were married. And we got involved in the church at the time. I think we were in Alexandria, Virginia. And we just loved God. We was on fire, you know, full of zeal, just wanted to serve God. And my then husband, he fell from grace. And so, like Apostle Karen, I did everything to save the marriage. And one day, we had had a disagreement. And I was sitting at home because I'm a writer, a journaler, and I was sitting at home and I began to write. And the Holy Spirit literally took over my pen. And he spoke to me 4 pages long. And one of the things that he said to me, he said, "Let go. Let go. I will help you let go. Do not touch what I have shut the door on." So the Lord let me know then that the marriage was resolved and that my then husband would not be reconciled back to him. And so I find myself at that time, I ended up leaving the church that we were at. And, you know, I spent my time raising our 2 sons. And, you know, I had a lot on my plate living in the city by myself, but I would like to say I never lost my way, because when I look back and I think back now, I can trace the hand of God. So I was busy raising my children. I decided to sit down from ministry for a while, and I needed to focus on the family. And let me say this, so many times people, you know, we love God, but oftentimes we will build a ministry and not build our home. Charity begins at home. And so that's where God lays the foundation, at the home, and then in the church, and then in the community, and in the nation. And so I spent that time raising my children, and I felt like I was ready for a relationship again. And so I knew that he was supposed to find me, and I was confident that he would. 2 years had went by. I was raising my children and, you know, just living life. And one day I was at work, and a gentleman came in. and just a beautiful person. I could tell, I could see that he was just this nice gentleman. And so we began to chit-chat, and long story short, we went out the first night, and he said, "I'm going to marry you." And the Lord opened my eyes during dinner, and I looked straight through him, and I saw him, and I knew that was my husband. I remember going home telling the children, you know, I was going to get married and all these great things. And so 11 months later, we were married. And when I say our love was a fairy tale, it was a fairy tale, I felt like I was living a dream. We moved to the suburbs of Maryland, and, you know, we bought a big house, and, you know, we had a swimming pool and a double deck. We were living the life. And while I still love God, I had sat down from ministry because I had seen so many things in church, and I knew that what I had seen in church and what I had experienced in church did not represent God. And I always felt there was something else that God wanted me to do. I was not finished. I just didn't know what that was. So in the meantime, I continued to live a beautiful life with my husband. And about 7 years into our marriage, he told me that he had went to the bathroom. He had seen some blood in his stool. And so we immediately made him an appointment to the doctor. And long story short, they said that he had a mass on his kidney. And I'm thinking, no worries. You know, we're going to get through this. And so I put on my superwoman suit, and I just began to pray. And so he came through the surgery very well. They took out his kidney, and, you know, once again, we resumed back to our life, our fairy tale life. And so about several months later, he noticed a lump that was on his neck area. And once again, I put on my superman suit, woman suit, and I'm like, we're going to get through this. And so he went back and forth for a while, and the bottom line is, and the thing is, I never thought he was going to die. I just felt like God is just not going to let this happen to me again. I've already been broken from one family, one marriage, and he's just not going to let this happen. I just had all of the confidence. I prayed all the right prayers, and at the time he was in Virginia Hospital Center, and the doctors were telling me he was going to die, and I'm just like, no, you know, my faith was just so strong. And so one day I went into the chapel, and I fell on my knees, and I said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so I was saying to the Lord that I let go. And so 3 days later, my husband died. It was on the 4th of July. And I remember feeling so numb. I was in shock. And I asked all of the questions, why me?
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was being rejected. I had dealt with a lot of rejection growing up. And I even felt like God was rejecting me. And this is very important because there are so many people that are angry with God. And I'm not proud of this, but I went through a stage where I was angry with God. I could not talk to him. Because I couldn't understand, why would you give me this man? And then why would you allow him to die? And I was just so confused. And so I moved to Tennessee briefly for a while after he died, and then I went back up north. And so one day I felt a lump in my breast. And it continued to grow and grow and grow. And I was talking to my sister on the phone, and she says, you need to get to the doctor. When I call you back in 2 hours, you better be at the hospital. And at the time, I didn't have any insurance. Long story short, I drove myself to the hospital. And the doctor examined me, and he sat down, and he says, honey, what's going on with you? And I just told him about my life, and he says, one way or the other, we're going to have you a minute. And so they end up having me a minute, and they did a biopsy, and not only did I have cancer, but I had stage 4 cancer. Now, in the midst of all of this, I had lost my house, my husband, and even my dog died. Everything around me died. And then here I look up, and I'm diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. And I felt truly, God, if he don't do it, it won't be done. And I remember laying in the hospital room, and the doctor had stepped out. And I said, God, I don't want to walk through this alone. And I literally felt the peace of God come into that room and to rest upon me. And at that point, I knew that whether I lived or died, I knew that I would be okay. And so I went through chemotherapy, and I remember, you know, having my head shaved and, you know, sitting at the table wanting to eat breakfast, but I couldn't because of the chemo. But yet my faith in God just began to be renewed. It's just like he was giving me an extreme makeover. The only difference was he was doing it from the inside out. See, we live in a society who looks on the outside of you. But God is concerned about what's in our heart. And so he began to do a makeover on me. And so I just began to fall in love with God all over again. Yeah. And isn't it funny how those dark night of the souls bring us into the face of God, and that's what it did for me. And so I'm triumphing through this, and I told, you know, my circle at that time, you know, if you're going to walk with me through this, I need your faith. I'm going to give you a chance to cry, but once you shed your tears, I need you to get up because sometimes we just need somebody to walk with us. And so I just began to triumph through this. And so after chemo, they had to do a mastectomy on me. I had to have a mastectomy. And 3 weeks after my mastectomy, I had a brain aneurysm. I was in church when this happened. And they medevaced me to Washington Hospital Center. I don't remember anything other than them putting me in the car and driving me to the emergency room, the same hospital, that I had had the mastectomy 3 weeks prior.
All right, hold on just a second. I hate to interrupt you, but I want the listening audience to understand what this woman is saying because I have my phone on mute. I'm trying to be quiet, you know, while you're telling all this stuff. Listen, people, I don't know if you hear what this woman is saying. She just lost her husband, and then she had the other situation, and now they're saying she got a brain aneurysm? Lord, it's like one thing hitting this woman after another, one after another. So go ahead, sister.
Yes. And so they medevaced me. Someone had to tell me this story. They medevaced me to Washington Hospital Center where I was fighting for my life because while in the hospital, I caught a deadly infection. And I was in and out of ICU, they say, several times, and the doctors had basically given up on me. And I remember the last few days of being in the hospital, and I remember them taking me to physical therapy. And I need to pause this story right here because I'm a dreamer and I see in my dreams. And so several months prior, I had saw myself in Union City, Tennessee, in my mom's house. And I had on my pajamas, and I was sick, and there was groves of people that were coming to see me. And I remember thinking when I had that dream, I put it on the shelf because I had no desire to ever come back to Tennessee. And so when I got out of the hospital, Washington Hospital Center, I didn't have any family in the area. I found myself back in my mom's house in my pajamas, and groves of people were coming to see me. And I had to learn how to walk and talk all over again.
Wow.
And when I got well enough, I moved here to Murfreesboro. My brother actually lived here in Murfreesboro, and my sister used to live here in Murfreesboro, and I learned how to walk and talk again. But by this time, I was depressed. I was going through depression.
Oh, man.
The Lord had brought me to, like, ground zero.
I just
didn't understand what is wrong with me. And so many times when things happen to us, we take it personal. But if you lose your whole life, when I say I lost my whole life, everything that I knew was turned upside down, how can you not take that personal?
Hmm.
But this is what I love about God, that he begins with the end in mind. And so
come on now.
Thinking that my life was over, and I used to lay on the sofa. I had moved to Murfreesboro by this time, and I was just sad and just, you know, flipped the TV, and I was just depressed. And one day I said, I'm going to walk to the block. That block led to the next block the next day. The next day I found myself at MTSU walking around in the indoor track. And I just began to walk out of my situation.
Wow.
And even though the doctors were saying it's not looking good, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what we cannot see. And so I literally took up my mat, and I began to walk out of my situation. And even to this day, I still live with a brain aneurysm in my head. Even to this day, I am still under a doctor's care for stage 4 metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah.
But if you were to look at me, you would never know that.
No,
He is the only God that can take you through the fire, and you come out and you don't even smell like smoke.
Come on now.
If you think about the Hebrew boys, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fire and turned it up 7 times hotter. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire, he said, looks like I see a fourth man. I want to say to you, there's a fourth man in the fire with you.
Come on now.
I don't care what your situation is. It's not over until God says it's over.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Mama.
And so I begin to walk, and I begin to testify. And so the Lord said, it's time to write now. And it took me a year to write my book, which was about my life of overcoming.
Aww.
And I said, okay, so I'll do breast cancer benefits. And I started doing breast cancer benefits. And then I went to my hometown, and they were struggling, and I said, well, I'll do community outreach. When I say I put my hands to the plow, and I didn't look back, because what I realized is that my destiny lied in the hands of God. And so no matter what your situation may be dictating to you, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. We just have
to make up our mind.
So you have to have a made up mind. Because if you think about Jesus on the cross, what is the last thing that went in? It was his mind. He said, Lord, if it's possible, allow this cup to pass from me. It was his mind. The battle is in the mind.
Yes, it is.
But if you ever win the battle against your mind, there will be nothing that you will not be able to do.
I know, that's right.
Because nothing is impossible. When you believe.
Now, Miss Prophet is told.
Yeah.
We're going to let you go at it, and we're going to put our phones on mute while you preach, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to come from Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. It's going to be the fifth verse. And if I could use a subject, it would be torn between two lovers. Torn between two lovers. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then I'm going to turn over to Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, and that's going to be the 10th verse. I'm sorry, the 9th verse. And it says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. I'm going to turn over to Ezekiel 36 chapter 26 verse says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. As I was thinking about what I was going to talk about, torn between two lovers, Lord had given me that a couple of weeks ago. And as you know, we live in a society where everybody wants to be in love. Everybody wants to be in a relationship. And especially as women, we love loving. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in wanting to love and to be loved. But the Bible clearly tells us to love the Lord our God. That's our first priority. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. But so many times, we as women, and I can talk about this because I used to have another lover. So many times we put everything else before God. And that lover could be our children. It could be our job. It could be our money. That lover could be something else. But the Lord is now bringing us to a place as his bride. I love the name of the radio station. We are his bride. Well, what is a bride? A bride is someone that's married to someone, that's in a relationship with someone. A bride is when you're a bride, you know, you adorn yourself. You get beautiful for that day. And so now God is bringing his daughters back home. And he says, I want you to come back to me. And I want to be your first love. Because right now, you're torn between two lovers. But he's saying, I'm a jealous God. I not only want you, but I want all of you. And let me say this. We were just talking about a process. What is a process? A process is a natural phenomenon marked by a gradual change that leads to a particular result. So we all want results, but nobody wants to go through a process. Well, you can't have the result until you go through the process. If you think about the children of Israel,
What took 40 years should have took 11 days because of their disobedience. What God was doing, he was trying to bring them into this love affair. See, when you're in love with somebody, there's a smile on your face. When you're in love with somebody, you wake up in the morning and you just want to talk to them. When you're in love with somebody, you will spend all night on the phone talking to them. And say, God is saying in this last hour, I need my bride to come back to me. I'm wooing you back to me. I remember when I was going through my process, and I used to say, I love you, God. I love you, God. Oh, you love me? Well, I'm asking you to surrender this to me. I'm asking you, will you give up your nice house? Will you give up your picket fence? Will you give me that man? My son, he belonged to me in the first place anyway. I just let you use him. Will you give me that? And I began to say, God, you're asking me. You gave me this, but you're asking me. I was torn between two lovers. I said I loved him. I said I wanted him. I used to say, I'll do anything for you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. See, we make a lot of promises. And sometimes God will call us to that vow that we made, and he'll call us to surrender something that he's given to us. Because he already knows. But many times, he want to show us ourselves. And if you remember Job's wife, and I so feel like my life has been like Job. And she says, why don't you curse God and just die? And Job said, listen to this. Can I accept good from God and not bad? See, we are a society that as long as everything is good for us and everything and the sun is shining, we can praise God. But what happens if he takes you to ground zero and he says, I want your nice house. I'm going to take your husband. I'm going to even take your health. Are we willing to give him our everything? Because we can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? In this last season, God is raising up a bride that is going to be willing to give him everything. He's raising up a bride that's not going to be torn. One day we're up and the next day we're down. We are moved by circumstances. But the Bible says he wants us just like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that can't be moved. I now know and understand what it means to love the Lord thy God with all of my heart and with all of my soul. And I used to think that I loved God. But when he started removing some things from my life, I began to question my love. And I wanted to love him more than anything, but I didn't know how. So he allowed me to go to ground zero. And he said, I'm going to strip you of everything you thought you were. And I'm going to give you an extreme makeover. But it's not going to be of your outer temple. It's going to be of your inner temple. I'm talking about being torn between two lovers. And so when he began to strip me, when he began to strip me of my pride, when he began to strip me of my self-righteousness that I couldn't see, when he began to strip me of who I thought I was, I began to fall all over again in love. He took me to a valley place. He took me to the dark night of the soul. And see, it's something about God that when he wants to love on you, he'll pull you away into the secret place. And he begins to move you, and he brings you into the bedroom chamber because he's trying to establish a love affair with you. He says, I'm a jealous God. I had no one before me. And so God began to bring me into this place. And I will wake up in the morning, and I wanted to talk to him. Because, see, my husband was gone. I couldn't talk to him anymore. But God said, I'll be your husband. Just give me a chance. All God is asking some of you women, give him a chance. Some of you have men in your life. And they've taken you to ground zero. And you keep trying to hang on. And God is saying to you, let it go, because I want to be the love of your life. I want to be your friend. I want to be your provider. I want to be your counselor and your lawyer. Is it possible? It absolutely is. It is possible for you to want God more than you want anything else. I know nothing in my life that I want more than I want God. And see, when you he brings you to that place and that process, then once he's done that and he sees that he can trust you with some things, he says, there is no good thing. There is no good thing that he shall withhold from those that walk up right before him. But he says, right now, I got to give you a singleness of heart. He said, right now, your focus needs focus. Because you're focused on the things on the outside. And that's why the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Because it's in your stillness that you will find God. I remember laying in my bed, and I was going through chemotherapy, and I was so weak from the treatment. And all I could do was just talk to God. All I could do was just cry out to God. See, those friends that some of you are dependent on, that job that you put before God. Even your children that you have put before God. He's saying to you, I want you to come home, prodigal. I want you to come home, bride. I want to bring you into this secret place. And when I tell you it's a secret place, it is a secret place where you can rest. It is through the dark night of the soul that I found my rest. My husband and I, we had a love story. But this love that I have right now, it makes me laugh when I don't even know why I'm laughing. It makes me cry sometimes. Because I think about all of the times that I put so many things before him. And the only thing he was trying to do was to bring me into this relationship, into this love affair. He said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for a bride without a spot or wrinkle. So if there's going to be no spot or wrinkle, that means that he first must take you through a process. He must take you through a transformation. And this transformation that he's taking you through, there are no shortcuts. You have to come in through the door. And so in this last hour, he put women on the front line. And he put women that are sold out. He put women on the front line and said, yay, Lord, I will do anything for you, whatever the cost. Because he said, if you suffer, that's an if you suffer, you shall reign with me. But see, what is this modern Christianity that tells us you just name it and claim it? And it, oh God forbid, if you're having problems, that means something is wrong with you. You don't have enough faith. That's what the pseudo church has taught us. But we must know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Does it feel good? Absolutely not. But being on the other side of this, if my life was a movie and I could rewrite the story, I would say don't change a thing. Because I'm falling in love all over again with God because he's given me a singleness. An undivided heart. He's brought me into this love affair. He's brought me into a peace that passes all understanding. I see him bringing restoration back to my life. 5 years I waited. 5 years. Not 5 days, but 5 years. I waited to have reconstruction surgery. And last week, I went into surgery. If you wait on God, if you are obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. There's something about being obedient to God. I don't care how many gifts you have. I don't care how much you can sing. I don't care how you can preach. It is your obedience that God is looking for. I don't know what that may cost you. I don't know what you're going to have to give up. But I will tell you this. Whatever the price, is going to be worth it. Because you need to know that you are fine jewels, pearls of a great price. Your rubies, your diamonds. What is he trying to do? He's trying to show you who you are in him. Because when you see yourself as God sees you, see, he sees you as the apple of his eye. And so many of us have been damaged. We've been abused. We've been rejected. We've been discarded. We've been trampled upon as women. And we wrestle with our self-worth. But let me tell you, he'll hide you. He'll bring you to the secret place. And he'll hide you in such a way that nobody will be able to touch you. I lost my keys one day, and they had fallen into a place in my purse. I had ripped my purse, and it had fallen down into this hole in my purse. And I was just busy looking for my keys. And 30 minutes later, I discovered them in this hole in my purse. And the Lord said, I've hidden you in the secret place. And he said, they won't look for you here. And I said, Lord, where? Where is it they won't look for me? Where is it my enemies can't get a hold of me? He said, I've hidden you in my love. I've hidden you in my love. And what God wants to do. And I'm speaking specifically to the women. He wants to love on you because you've been broken. He wants to love on you because you've been hurt. You've been rejected. You've been dejected. You've been suppressed, depressed, oppressed. And he said, I just want to love on you. I just want to bring you into this intimate place. I want to bring you into my bedroom chamber. I want to make you whole. I want to make you free. I want to make you happy. Do you not know God wants you happy? He wants you happy. I have never in my life been as happy as I am right now. And it has nothing to do with the circumstances of my life. That's the joy. That's the unspeakable joy. That's the fulfillment of one of his promises. He promised us joy, peace. It's a promise. And you may feel like, I've been this way, and I've been here so long. How can I ever come out? You'll come out one step at a time. There we go again with this process. You'll come out one step at a time. There were times when I could just take one breath at a time because the weight of the world was smothering me, and all I could do was just take one breath at a time. But if you just take one step, if you just get up and you look in the mirror and you tell yourself, this moment, I'm going to move forward because the world is waiting on you. It's never just about you. What is it that Joseph said? What you meant for evil? Now what I understand. What you meant for evil, he told his family, what you meant for evil, God meant it for saving of many lives. There are people that are depending and waiting on you to get in your rightful place. And I decree and I declare that even now, I speak over this reason. I speak alignment in the realm of the spirit, manifestation. I speak reconciliation in the family. I speak reconciliation in the church. I speak reconciliation, Father God. I speak it, Father God, in racism. I speak it in this region. I speak the leaders are coming together, that we are one body, that we are one faith. I speak it in the name of Jesus, that you will begin to rise up, and you will see that God has need of you. And so you're wondering, where am I right now? He's bringing you to a place where you can have a single heart. He's bringing you to a place where you will have tunnel vision. He's bringing you to a place where you will no longer just think about your problems, and you won't think, I'm my brother's keeper, but you'll begin to see, I am my brother. Because he said, what you did for the least one of mine, you did for me. So he sent me to Tennessee by tsunami, and he broke my will. And he says, now you're usable. Now I can trust you. Now I can send you forth to help somebody else. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Jesus is dying on the cross. He did it for us. I feel like I owe him my life. I owe him. We owe him our life. And so I say to you this day, get up and begin to move forward. Don't look back. There's nothing back there. You can't drive and look through the rearview mirror at the same time. There's going to be a crash. Some of us are stuck in our past. We're stuck in our rejection. We have a divided heart because we have one force pulling us back and one saying, come this way. But I decree and declare that thing that you have been struggling with, that thing that has been keeping you back and holding you back, I sever it right now in the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare that it is broken. And I decree and declare that new doors are opening in your mind. See, the battle is in the mind. I decree right now, mindsets are being broken. I decree generational curses are being broken. I decree cycles of abuse is being broken. I decree that the church, the true remnant church, is rising. The Omega church is rising up. I decree and declare the remnant are coming forth. And I decree and declare in this region that there shall be worship city. There shall be worshipers arising up. I decree it as so. And Father, we thank you that even now, that in this region, Tennessee, we thank you, oh God, for the new birth. We thank you for the new life. We thank you for your determinate counsel. We thank you. The Bible says many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that will prevail. We speak your prevailing purposes in this region. We decree it as so. And we decree that we have a singleness of heart. And we decree that we will not only be our brother's keeper, but we will become our brother. Because even as you could empathize with the people, but we decree and declare that people are coming up and coming out, and we will begin to serve each other, oh God. The greatest among us is the servant of all. God, we thank you that we are servants of the Most High. Elohim, we come to serve, oh God, that even as you did, Jesus, you came to serve. We come to serve. We do honor you and we do bless you for this new day, this new beginning, this new season, oh God. There is none like you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. And you will have the last say, so Father. And I thank you even this day that we are one body, that we are one spirit. And Lord, we thank you that even in this region, you will begin to gather us together, oh God, that even as they came together on the upper room on the day of Pentecost, in the last days, you said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We decree and declare the prophecy, the fivefold ministry will begin to operate in this region. God, we bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for that word.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go bride! Our soon coming King awaits.